Blog Talk Radio.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, as you stand by me.
Goodness, Benny King, Stand By Me. What's happening, everybody? How are you doing? I hope you're well and things are good for you. We are so blessed to be here today at Solar Records Radio at Throwback Thursday. I hope you are well and blessed wherever you are and things are good for you. So today we're going to have this topic today, and I'm excited because I have somebody that is very, very knowledgeable. She is going to bless us today. And so let me see here. Miranda Kirk is on the line. Are you there, Miranda?
I'm here. Hi.
Hey, how are you, dear?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come on here and chat with you about this.
Oh, man. You're blessing us in this. And we appreciate that very much. How's everything going for you? You doing okay?
I'm doing good. You know, I've got 3 kids, so just kind of gearing up for summer break.
That's right. Man, oh, man. You know, but those are fun times. We they always end up being fun when we look back at it. Like, wow, that we did some great memories. And I miss that. Go ahead.
I always tell my friends that we always look back at pictures and say, like, oh my gosh, those were the days. But then I'm like, how do we start living today like they're the days? Because today's going to be the days later.
Exactly.
You know, like we say those are the good old days, but we're living them right now.
We're living them.
We're making it to the good old day part.
Yes, we're making the memories for the good old days. So it's a beautiful thing. I think my partner, Don Fleming, are you on the line, Don?
I am here, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. All right. So Miranda, Don Fleming, this is Miranda. And Don Fleming is my co-host as well on this show. And he has his own shows as well. And he's a former school teacher as well. And so it's just nice just to be able to chop it up, with you guys and stuff. I want to just go over a couple of things real quick with you in regards to the topic that we're talking about today. And that is emotional healing. And I was like, what is emotional healing and stuff? And so I just want to run a couple of things by you real fast and then have you just, you know, kind of, as a matter of fact, why don't I let you tell us what emotional healing is?
Are you talking to me or Don?
I'm talking to you. Don and I will be asking you as many questions as we can possibly come up with. But go ahead.
Okay, well, hi, Don. Nice to meet you on here.
You as well.
Emotional healing is a process that we go through. Once we start the process, it can keep going forever because we're just constantly processing our emotions. But it's definitely a process you have to choose to go on. And I know for myself, I did a lot of trying to outrun life because we always have painful experiences in our life, right? And so those painful experiences, when left unacknowledged or unaccepted, they kind of scream at us and they come out through our emotions. So I knew that I had some stuff to process because I found myself struggling with anger once I had 3 kids and I'd never struggled with anger before in my whole life. So it kind of drove me to a point of saying, okay, I want to look at what's going on here. There has to be more to this. And so that's kind of what emotional healing is. It's where you look at the painful experiences of your life, the strong emotions that you maybe can't control, and you acknowledge it and you accept it and you give it the attention that it's trying to get from you, and you begin to experience healing and you get free from those emotions controlling you.
So I really wanted to be able to have a good conversation with you in regards to this. And when I did my research, I came up with emotional healing is the process of acknowledging, allowing, accepting, integrating, and processing painful life experiences and strong emotions. You know, and I was thinking, wow, that's a lot to unfold. Just that right there.
Yeah.
Just that right there. So, you know, how do you start? Like, how do you – well, first of all, you have to be willing to sit down and to maybe listen to someone like yourself talk about these things. And so many people tend to, when they're hurting, they tend to go the other way. There's some that will go, like you said, you were hurting and you started trying to figure out what's going on here. But there are a lot of us that do the total opposite. We start drinking. We start finding other things to cope with our situation. That's a tricky situation to get somebody to the table, right? You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink it.
Exactly.
So
right.
Those are the people that I'm concerned about as well. But we need to talk to the people that are ready to hear that did like you. And so why don't you, try to explain to us like you did when you were telling me, like, emotional healing is something that, you know, it's an experience that you have to like go down this road to figure it all out. So can you just kind of like take us down each road if possible?
So like you're saying, a lot of us don't move toward it. We run the other way. And I would say that I probably did that for a good probably 5 years. after I started having children, that's when I started, you know, experiencing emotions that I had locked away from painful things in my life, and having my own kids just brought those to the surface. And I really did run from that. I tried to outrun that for a long time. And the way that it came out, me trying to outrun those emotions that really just needed my attention, was anger. That's how I avoided them. And so for some of us, like you said, it is drinking. For some of us, it's, you know, binging food or putting our head in the sand and pretending like nothing's wrong and just checking out of life. We all handle it differently, but the real root of the problem is usually unresolved emotions is what drives us to behave that way. And so normally what happens is people run and they run and they run and they resist and they resist. And usually it takes a pain point to where you're ready to change. And so, and I love the definition of change, this definition of change. It is that we change whenever the pain of staying the same gets greater than the pain of changing. And so we usually hit a wall. We hit a pain point at some point in our life where we've had enough, and that drives us to do something about it. So that's where I got to. I personally went to therapy to help me process emotions. And I really just had to look back at some things that felt scary to look at because they're very painful and they're very hard. And sometimes we experience guilt from living in the past, or, you know, you just experience so many things around the painful times in your life. But like I told you that one time, our emotions are like a toddler when you're on the phone. They're not going to stop saying mama until you answer them. You know, they're relentless. I mean, you can snap at them and give them the silent, like, don't talk. But they're not going to stop until we look at them. And so I tried to get them to stop with knowledge. I tried to gain understanding and read books and get smarter about, you know, how to understand things and the way people work. But the head knowledge is not the same as the emotions. You know, the emotions are where we get stuck. We can know things logically. We can understand things logically and know, like, well, that's not real. That was a lie. I don't need to believe that that's what was really happening, or, you know, that wasn't really the way God intended my life to be. But if we don't process the emotions that come along with the knowledge, we'll stay stuck emotionally. And that's where our behaviors come from.
Wow. That was like really strong, right to the point when you said it's like a toddler that, you know, they won't stop saying mama, mama, mama until you respond to them. And, you know, I've been there,
right?
So many times. And but also it says here that this may involve empathy, self-regulation, self-compassion, self-acceptance, mindfulness, and integration. What do they mean by an integration?
So you have to we have to start to be willing to look at ourselves, because we spend most of our life looking out at other people, looking at what they've done, you know, kind of playing the victim, I guess, is our natural thing to do. But in order to change, we have to take responsibility for, okay, maybe I have had some painful experiences in my life that I didn't choose, that they were put on me. But at some point, we've got to take responsibility for how we are choosing to behave. Even if it is just our response to that pain that wasn't our fault, we're still making a choice. So even though the things that made me, you know, experience pain, where my anger came from, I was still choosing, as an adult mother, I was choosing to use anger. It's a choice that we're making. And it doesn't feel like that. It feels like it's impossible to stop, but it's really a choice that we're making. So we have to look at ourselves. That's the awareness part and the integration part of looking inside and going, okay, I've got to be kind to myself, because it is what it is. You know, if I'm quick to anger, I'm quick to anger. And I can tell myself, you're horrible. You shouldn't be angry. That's bad. You're not a good mom. But that really doesn't change the fact that I'm wired to be quick to anger. So the quicker I can accept that and really just look at it for what it is, that's what calms it. Like, that's what gives me the freedom to manage it. It's not really about making all these emotions go away. It's really just about learning how to manage them.
But how do you get to the point where you know, okay, you said not until you get to the point where you know that you have to manage it, right? So how do you know when you get to that point? How do you know that you've gotten to the point, now I know what it is, and now I can manage it? Like, how do you know that you know what it is? It's that, you know, it's, well, like, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. You can respond.
Okay. Well, for me, so faith is a big part of my life. And so part of mine is you know, the work I did on my own in therapy. But the other part, I believe, is when you really trust God with everything. And I hadn't trusted him with my children. So I kept those for myself, and I was trying to do that on my own. And so when I finally let go of that, the transformation that happened on the inside, that was one way that the anger was more manageable, because God just changed my heart. He healed me from so much of that pain that I really wasn't angry like I was. It wasn't there anymore. Now, I'm still wired to be quick to anger, but I have such a greater awareness around it that I can almost like catch it before it just flies out. Like, I have an understanding now of like, okay, that's a choice that I'm making. I have made the choice not to be angry plenty of times, so it's my responsibility to continue to make that choice. And once you know that, it's almost like the awareness alone helps you to manage it, because you understand it differently. And you'll know when that happens, because you experience a lot of hope, because you can feel hopeless that you're never going to change. But once you see yourself responding differently, you're hopeful that you can do this, that you can heal from these emotional side effects. So you get you, and then once you have that hope, you want to do more of that to feel that peace and rest that comes with not falling into the trap of getting angry. Because it takes so much energy to behave in such a way to try and avoid our emotions. It takes way more energy to have that bad behavior than it does to just look at the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
You feel the rest. You can feel the peace when you don't. Like, when I didn't assert my anger into situations anymore, I felt, oh man, it just felt lighter. So you definitely know when you're starting to manage it. You will not miss that. And neither will the people around you.
They're like, hallelujah.
Exactly. Like, if you think you're hiding it, just ask your friends and your family. They can help shed some light.
Yes, that's something else. You know, how do you know? I mean, you're talking about your faith, right? You're talking about, you know, letting go and letting God, right? And so is there, like, was there like a point when God just came in and took that away from you, and you were like, oh, so you didn't really have to do anything. He just took the cross and carried it for you. How did you recognize that?
Well, and I think sometimes we don't always see it in the moment. For me, I remember a moment specifically, but I didn't realize what it really was in the moment. But looking back now, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, God totally showed up for me in that moment and helped me see. Because, you know, the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, about not leaning on our understanding, that his ways are better than our ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard that scripture a million times, but one night, you know, after I'd been in therapy, I was like, okay, I'm not going to react with my anger tonight. I'm going to not do it. And it was very difficult. I had to make a whole plan, because I'd failed at every attempt for 3 years straight up until this night. So I decided to, you know, make a plan. I made it through the moment without getting angry at what I normally would get very angry about. It took everything in me not to do it. I was literally clenching my fists, my teeth. I mean, it was very hard. But afterwards, my husband and my daughter were laughing in the bathroom because it was during shower time. I would always go in the bathroom and just scream at my husband for not doing it right or who knows what. I mean, it was just ridiculous, right? And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that tonight. Well, I didn't do it, and I heard him laughing. I thought, well, that's so strange. How could they be laughing? Because I'm the one that keeps this place running. Like, how could they be laughing without me, you know? And so I go in there, and they're joyful, and they're having fun, and our whole night got better instead of worse like it normally did. And that is kind of the moment where God showed me that his ways really are better than mine. And I really did believe, based on childhood trauma, that I had to assert myself in every situation to protect my kids, because no one protected me, but I was just projecting that fear onto my kids. And they were in a perfectly safe home with two wonderful parents. And so I saw in that moment, like, this is so much better when I don't do the thing I thought I had to do. And so that's kind of the moment for me where God really showed up and said, my ways really are better than yours. And when I felt the peace and the joy in that moment, it made me want it more and more. And so I was willing to not assert myself and my anger in more and more situations because I was yearning to feel that again.
Wow. You know, that's beautiful, because I think, you know, it's so important that we are honest with ourselves. And a lot of times we're not honest with ourselves. We just go with whatever is happening, you know, like your anger maybe, or whatever it is, you know, and you want to just do that. And as opposed to say, hold on, like what you did, you put all that on pause, and you were able to recognize the joy without allowing that thing that was coming from you to destroy the joy. Right.
Right. Right. But I had to let it go first.
Yes.
We have to let it go in order to see all God has for us. We have to move toward him.
Wow. And that's a powerful place to be. Like, how do you do that? How do you just do what you did? I mean, to just put the brakes on.
It was hard.
I know. It
had
to be.
It was so hard. I mean, I think that for me, it was anger, but for some people it might be like, okay, I'm going to experience my family sober tonight. And not drinking that day or not drinking that night might be the hardest thing you've ever done, but just pray that God will show you in those moments of being sober that there is another way, and that it is a better way than you thought you had to do to cope with life. There's another way. You know, maybe it's avoiding that late night snack or whatever it is that you do that you feel, you know, powerless to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I have a question from one of the listeners. They said, how can you stop, or how can I stop my past from controlling my future?
Yeah.
Kind of like what you just said.
Yeah, the first way to stop it is to accept it, you know, to look at it and go, you know what? This is my story, but this is not me. So for the longest time, I thought my story was who I was, but it's just part of my life that further created me. God has much more for me than my story. That's such a limiting belief to think that our story is who we are. But if you can just look at it and say, okay, this is my story. This is what happened to me. This is how I'm responding to it. And I don't really want to stay stuck in this. So I'm just going to look at it and try to figure out some things. Maybe I need to get some help from someone I trust who's going to help me move through it. A lot of times we talk about our past to people who want to circulate in it, and it just becomes more damaging because we just vent and we just kind of stay on a hamster wheel about it. I think it's really important to find someone skilled and trustworthy to help you move through it and not stay stay angry and circulate that anger over and over and more of like a venting about it.
Wow. Another question is, that's a great answer too. Thank you for that. Another question is, should I look at my scars as a badge of honor rather than carrying them about like excess baggage?
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to flip the narrative. Looking at your life and saying, okay, I've had a lot of things happen in my life, and it wasn't, instead of viewing it as like, some of us would get angry at God, like, why did God let that happen? But as humans, we have choices that we make, and, you know, if we're raised by other humans, we're going to feel pain. Like, that's just part of it. No one escapes this life without suffering, and that's what scripture talks about. But the beautiful thing is you can look at that and say, I'm broken, I'm messed up, or you can say, you know, God put me through these things, and these things are what fuel my purpose now. So my passion now is to look at relationship dynamics and help people think through those things and get a new perspective on it. And if I hadn't experienced the pain that I experienced growing up, I wouldn't have that deep-seated passion to help other people, you know, not experience the things that I did.
Okay, so I'm going to share something with you guys. It's a personal. It's you know, just like you did. So, that was very intimate. You sharing your life right now, like you know, you're with your children now. They're still with you. This is not like that.
Yeah.
20 years ago, we're talking.
No,
you know, this,
60 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, right. So this is so. But I have and I'm not sure if this is emotional. If this is, what was the title of this emotional?
If you need emotional healing.
Yeah, if I need emotional healing. I hope my friends are not listening to this. This is how bad I feel. But I, you know, years ago, as I became a young musician, my friend who was a young musician with me, my eyes are watery now. Dang. And so, we developed our skills together. We worked really hard, and I wanted to be the best jazz drummer in Philadelphia. I mean, I didn't know anything outside of Philadelphia. I was just a kid. I was only like 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And so those years from 13 up to 18, we were just going at it. We were practicing. We went to different music schools together. We were just, you know, working hard just to be the best we could be. And then the opportunity came up. Because I said, I really want to try and see what this other music is about that other people talk about all the time. Because the kids in my neighborhood didn't understand, why are you playing that crazy jazz? What is that? You know, they want to play the popular music that everybody was dancing to. But I didn't want to do that. And so, but then the questions kept coming to me like, well, why do they like that music so much? So I started checking into it, listening to it, and then I started talking to other musicians about it. And then I'm trying to hurry this up. I ended up getting in a band, and the guy that I was working with, he was not happy. He was like, man, what are you doing? You're selling out. You're selling out.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious. I just want to know why. And, you know, and so I wouldn't let him stop me. So I did it, and then I enjoyed it, actually, because it was completely different. It was just something else. Actually, it was helping me to develop my skills even more, because this is a whole other side of, you know, development that I didn't know back then that I needed, but I felt it. And so anyway, I remember telling some other another guy, I said, hey, if anybody ever needs a drummer to do this, let me know. And so I did get that phone call, and I went to California, I auditioned, I made the audition, and never went back home again. And I mean, I never moved back to Philadelphia. And so my friend, I feel like I abandoned my friend. I feel like, and you know, and so they see me on TV, all kind of stuff, you know, records, just gold and platinum. They see all this stuff happening for me, and it didn't happen with him. And I feel this guilt that I just, I'm so ashamed of. And I can't, it's hard to even, I mean, I try to reach out every blue moon to talk to him, and I feel so bad. What is that? Is that what it, I'm in pain here?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good example of something that, like you said, emotional healing is a process of acknowledging, allowing, and accepting painful experiences. So that definitely is a painful experience. And did you ever have a conversation with him? Like, how did you communicate with him through that process of telling him what you were doing and telling him how it was going? Was it like abrupt, or did you communicate well? Because a lot of times that can be a source of the pain, is when we just don't, you know, we're not open and honest because of fear.
Well, I believe that I was, I think I inadequately communicated because of, you know, we weren't communicating well at all at that point because I knew that he was angry and he called me a sellout, you know, that I sold out to that kind of music. And so it was hard to have a conversation with him because he is brutally honest, and so he will say what he feels, no matter if it hurts a person's feelings or not. And I like that about him, because that you always knew where he was coming from, but I didn't want to hear it. But I didn't want to hear it anymore, right? And so, and I found something that was really precious to me, and it made my family proud of me, and it, you know, and then I just felt good. And he didn't like it. And so that was the oxymoron for me, that my family was really happy for me, but he wasn't. And so we didn't communicate much. And so I know that, I know deep in my heart that he loves me because I love him. I know that there's a connection. That's my buddy and my childhood friend. And it hurts though when I think about him sometimes, or when I go home to Philadelphia and all these people are going to come around and hang out with me as opposed to him. And it just feels so wrong. I feel like I did him wrong. I don't feel like I should have been able to pull him along. But the strangest thing is that the person that auditioned me played the same instrument as he did. So I couldn't say, if you need a bass player, I know someone, because he was the bass player.
Yeah, he was the bass player, right. But you were 18.
Yeah.
You were 18 at that point, and so you kind of had to start making a life, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was 20,
You had to start making a life, and so it can't – and that's I think that's like a classical story of musicians, right, what you just told. It seems like that's like the storyline of a lot of movies and stuff, where somebody gets left behind or somebody takes – you know, starts their own band or goes out on their own, or, you know, I think that's a common thing that happens in the musician world. The emotional healing from that would be talking through the way it made you feel and the way it might've made him feel and the way he made you feel when he told you that. And all those things, they just kind of stay swirling inside of us if we don't get them out. And you don't even have to get them out to the person. You just have to get them out to someone that can help. And it's just about listening and accepting, not about fixing or, you know, telling you what you should have done or what you need to do. It's just listening and accepting what is. And it sounds so weird because it kind of goes against everything we know, but that really is how to heal.
And so my process right here and now should be
we can't make someone communicate with us, right? Like sometimes people are just done. So there is a way to find healing outside of them you know, giving you the affirmation or telling you it's okay. And it would be to process through that pain. So that is a painful situation. There is, you know, you could find a trusted friend or a therapist or your wife, someone to talk through it with you that doesn't want to fix it for you, that doesn't want to rush you through the feelings, you know, someone that's comfortable in pain with you to just sit and acknowledge what happened and just process through how could you have handled it differently? What part of it was hurtful for you? What was your ownership in hurting him? How could you have handled it differently? How could he have handled it differently? And just thinking through that and how all that makes you feel and how it made you feel at the time and how you see it impacting your relationships today even, bringing all that to light is where you find the freedom from it. It's not really in solving it. Solving it is what keeps us trying to solve it all is what keeps us hurting.
Yeah.
Because there's not always a solution, you know? It's done.
Yeah. And so with it being done and then you just go, well, it's done. It happened. I just want to be able to, when I revisit that thought, that I don't get emotional mm-hmm. about it. Like,
yeah.
I need to create some kind of closure. And this healing, my emotional healing needs to happen because I love him. And if mm-hmm. anything happens to him, you know, it's really going to be bad for me because I felt like I did him wrong.
And so, do you reach out to him sometimes and
tell him how you feel? I've been trying to reach out to him recently because I've never said what I'm saying to you to him ever. He has no idea.
So feelings never fail. I feel like you can, if you tell him how you feel, because I know for the first thing we want to do when we have, you know, painful experiences with other people is we go into it and we want to protect ourselves, right? It's self-preservation. So we kind of stick to the script of everything they did to hurt us. What that does is it makes them defensive and then they don't hear what you're really saying because they're so busy trying to protect themselves.
Good point.
So when you go into a hard experience or a painful experience with someone, it's always best to practice vulnerability and sticking to the script of how you feel because it's impossible to get defensive or upset with someone's feeling. Like, you know, like,
feelings.
If you were to go to him and say, that situation was hard. I just took the next opportunity. You got mad at me. Like, that's just sticking to the zero feeling zone. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding that can happen there. But if you just stick to, man, I really struggle with this. I know this was a hard time in our life. It brings me a lot of pain. You know, I get emotional about it when I think about it. I really miss you, and I'd really like to reconcile and talk about, you know, how this affected both of us. Like, there's really not much you can say to that except, like, I don't want to talk about it or I'd love to talk about it, you know?
And the thing is that I don't know if I want to talk about it with him, but, you know, if he wants to talk about it, then I'm open to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll be open. Yeah, because for me, you know, I felt like I was the one, you know, the person that did the wrong don't want to really talk about it, right? I feel like I did him wrong. And maybe he might not feel that way. I don't know because I never talked to him about it. He may say, y'all never talked about it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard, right?
He may say, no, you just did what you had to do and I did what I had to do. You know, he may be okay with it. But so, but this, I think that it's really important that, you know, that our experiences, yours, Miranda's experience with the kids and my experience with my friends is an experience that you guys can use in your own situations and apply those things to whatever you may be going through. I hope that, you know, us opening up about what we experience in this and how to try to find that place of comfort. And I love when she said that, you know, that faith was is key for yourself there. I love when you said that because, you know, us being Christians, we have to walk by faith. And yeah. But it doesn't mean that we're not human, right?
Right. Mean, right.
We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. And and so, but anyway, that was great. I have another question from overseas. I think that's I and not B. Should I practice my logical intelligence rather than my emotional intelligence?
I think that it's important to practice both. Because we have to have a new understanding of things to create a change or a shift. But we also have to acknowledge the emotions that come along with the logic so that we don't get stuck in either place. And I would say that it's important to do both. We tend to lean toward the logic more just because we think, well, if I can just figure out why they did that, then I'll be fine. But usually that's not the case. Or if I can just get them to apologize, then I'll be fine. But then we get the apology and we're still not fine. And that's because we've left the emotions behind that are untapped. And so that's why both of them are really important. But the easier one to miss is definitely the emotional side of things. We can run off and leave it in the dust, and then it comes back to bite us later, very unexpectedly, when we don't, you know, it kind of blindsides us.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would say, too, one more thing to add is that God created us for a relationship with Him and each other. And so we cannot go through the emotional healing process alone. I would say that's virtually impossible to do that. And so if we think we're going to just protect ourselves and stay in our home and read books to get better, it definitely can help you. And you can definitely lean on the Holy Spirit and your faith in your home. But we were created for each other. And so it's really critical, I believe, to get some help with processing the things that bring us pain, just because there's so many wonderful people. I mean, God created academics that train people how to walk us through that pain, and it is so helpful. I know there's such a stigma around getting help and needing help, but we were designed to help each other. That's what we were created for. And so I would encourage you, if you're struggling today, and I think deep down we know if we're struggling or not, you know, with emotions that trip us up, find someone and get some help. It's okay to get help. And it is the most wonderful tool and the most wonderful feeling to start experiencing freedom around feeling stuck in hard emotions.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Oh, this show is making me emotional. Okay, hold it. Another question. At what point might we need to get help in the form of medication? I don't know if you can answer that or not, but if you can, that's a question that just came in. At what point might we need to get help from, you know, like what is it that like, do you need medication because you're starting, you can't seem to pull it together?
Yeah. I mean, I think a medical professional or a therapist is very helpful in deciding if you're at that place. I know there's differing opinions on medication. I personally believe it's a wonderful thing. I mean, it can save lives. And so I believe if you need that, and even if it's just temporary while you work through some hard things, I think it's perfectly okay. And I think that's definitely a case by case judgment call that you would want to get help from a therapist. I know like a psychologist or doctors will be really quick to put you on medication, but if you really are wondering if it's right for you, I would seek a faith-based therapist to really help you process that decision before you even get to work on all the hard things you need to work through. You can decide first if you need medication to help you on that journey or not.
Oh, okay. Now, this here is something I heard, you know, when we talked before, you said a couple of these things. So I, you know, just in trying to get better, you know, these are some ideas and some thoughts. And I heard you said this to me when we first started talking about this. It says, mm-hmm. First, be yourself. You must be yourself. This means asking for what you want, setting mm-hmm. boundaries. I remember you said setting boundaries, have your own benefits and options, standing up for your values, wearing mm-hmm. the clothes you want to wear, eating the foods you want to eat, saying the things you want to say, and in 100 other ways, being you and not somebody small or false.
Yes, mm-hmm. and I think all that's beautiful. I will say that if you don't know how to do that, you hear that and it sounds great, but you're like, but that I can't do that. I'm not, you know, sometimes we're just not there. We don't know how to be ourselves, or we don't even know what's blocking us from being ourselves. And so those are the goals, but oftentimes we need help getting there.
Setting boundaries.
Yeah, even setting boundaries and understanding how to do that and where you're missing them and how to, you know, understand what that looks like and getting the confidence to do it, all that can require help, needing help to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, that's, you know, because there's so many different things that could have happened to people that are needing emotional healing. And
right.
some, you know, so, yeah, so this, the boundary thing might be important for some of us. But anyway, I just want to say thank you. You have been a blessing. Man, you made me open up. I didn't know I was going to do that.
Well, thank you. I really am. I'm thankful that you've shared that story with all of us. And so I've enjoyed my time so much, as always.
Wow. So in closing, what is there anything? Hold on. Oh man, my dashboard is lighting is blowing up here. Okay. In closing, is there anything else that you would like to share with somebody that may be going through this, that may be a little shy about it? Maybe they don't even want to talk about it. Maybe they're like still running from it. They're like, I'm fine. I don't, you know those people. I don't know.
No, I was that. I mean, I was basically
was
a professional at being fine. I was really good at being fine, but I didn't know that I wasn't fine. I really thought I was fine. I believed my own lie, you know, like I really am fine. but no, I was not fine. And I think, you know, life catches up with us eventually, and the choices that we make and the routes we take, they don't just go unnoticed forever. We can't stuff them away forever, and we have to deal or not. We got to come to that point in our life where there's a T. We either do the work on ourselves or we keep resisting. And that's really the only two choices. That's the only two choices we have.
Yeah.
That's it. We got to either, we hit a crossroads where the person we've always been is no longer working for us. You know, maybe we want to finish out life in a different way, but then we've done these things for so long, we can't seem to stop now that we've done them so long. And I think, you know, that's kind of what they call a midlife crisis, but really it's a place where you go, okay, my life is halfway over. Or, you know, somewhere around halfway. And I want to do things differently from here on out. And then all of a sudden you're like, crap, why can't I be different? I'm still doing the things I've always done. I can't stop doing those things. And that's where you got to decide to do the work and look at yourself and why you're doing those things and all that. Or you just keep resisting and say, I'm fine. And then, you know, you keep having issues with relationships and behaviors, and you just got to choose. Like, you got to choose.
Got to choose, man. And, man, that's so good, Miranda. Thank you. And, you know, and sometimes that's the hard decision, but you got to make it.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Yes. Wow. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you. And why don't you tell people how they can, you know, follow you and you know, and just, I know you're writing books and stuff. So, go ahead on.
Yeah. You can find me on Facebook. And it's, if you search Relationships Unraveled, Miranda Kirk, or you can find me on Instagram under the same thing, Relationships Unraveled, Miranda Kirk.
Awesome. Well, guys, we're going to go back to old school. It is Throwback Thursday, and thank you so much, Miranda Kirk.
Man, thank y'all so much. Thanks for having me and for everybody that's listening. I just want to encourage everybody to don't lose hope and to just to seek some help, and it's okay to seek some help.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Well, we'll see you soon. You take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Much love. Okay. We'll be back. Bye. Bye.
Oh, how it hurts.
Without warning love.
Difficulty because, you know, it's raining here and we had issues with the electric and the internet, so I apologize, but I'm sure it was a very captivating discussion. I hate I miss.
Yes.
Shout out to Miranda
amazing.
Kirk, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she really blessed us. You know, and it was one of those things, man, where you know, she got me good because she had me talk about my own personal story, you know, and I didn't expect for that to happen, and it did happen.
Gave you the okie doke.
And yeah. Well, you know what happens is that emotional healing thing, man, it's powerful, and a lot of times we don't want to face issues that we're faced with. We just kind of push it to the side. Nah, it's okay. I'm cool. I'm okay. And she says something like, she says, I'm a professional. I'm okay person. Everything's okay. It's okay.
Right.
It's not, you know, and that's why she caught me, because when she was sharing her story and I was listening to her story, it made me think about my story. And I was like, that's it right there. That's because I have a problem. You know, like when I think about my childhood friend, I get emotional. I get tears in my eyes because I feel like I did him wrong. And, you know, by just leaving Philadelphia and going to California and not ever doing any music with him again, it's just, it's just wrong, man, and I just feel terrible about it. But, you know, he just didn't want to do R&B. He wanted to do jazz. So I was doing R&B and pop. So it was what it was. And so, but anyway, man, so yeah, she pulled me right on in, and it was great, and I'm so grateful for her that she came on and, you know, blessed a lot of the listeners and stuff. And hopefully people, you know, got something, if only one got, you know, some healing and understanding of emotional healing in this. That's really all that matters. And so I truly appreciate her and her talking about her faith and how her faith, you know, at some point you got to trust. You just got to trust.
Right.
You know, and so I was just really grateful for that, man. So thank you, sweetheart. I'm going to post a picture of her in a second here so people can kind of, you know, identify. But it was great. I had a good time.
And, I'm glad. I hate I missed it again. We, you know, my internet is acting up. I'm hoping while I'm talking to you, all of a sudden fade out. But no, I'm here. I'm on the phone with you. I'm chilling. But yeah, man, she seemed like, you know, very, very, very thoughtful person. I mean, I kind of got that vibe out of her, you know,
yeah,
and very caring and nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, and that's my friend's daughter. And so she told me about her, and I was like, really? She said, yeah, you should call her. So I did. And it's been, you know, one of those things. She comes on periodically. This would be a blessing to the show, and we appreciate her very, very much. So, but anyway, it's time for some old school, man. Time to get down, get funky, and get loose here.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Be back to, so we got to play some music? What?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You like Dr. Phil, okay?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, man, you're funny. All right. Uh-oh, you're going to do the music, it seems. You got
man,
it.
We hear Donnie in the background. I hear a song called Love, Love, Love. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Do you hear that?
Let's go ahead
and listen to it. Hey,
let's do it.
You got
let's
the name too. You guys keep it locked right
who
here.
Got the name?
Johnny Hathaway, Love, Love, Love.
All right.
Long to come to me, oh baby, and love, love, your love, tell me were you hiding from me all the time, each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain, no, the lips were never quite the same, no baby. I was kissed and someone knew deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space and all I saw was your trying to mislead you. Believe me, girl, I really need you.
just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space. All I saw was your sweet face. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space. All I saw was your sweet face. Love, love, love.
You're listening to Throwback Thursday on Solar Records Radio. Wardell Potts done living Love, 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 Donny Hathaway, 1973, Extension of a Man. What a great album. I had to jump in for a second, Wardell. I apologize. I just saw something that blew my mind.
What's that?
I just saw something that blew my mind. There is a flying, have you ever heard of this? It's like a flying vehicle called a Jetson One. Have you ever, it's basically this flying electric sports car. And it looks like a huge drone you can sit in and ride and fly. And they're already launching delivery for 2023. So
no
people
way.
Are ordering these things.
Oh, no.
I'm going to check this. I'm freaking out right now.
No.
And I think The price is, I think it's starting at around $92,000. So,
no, don't do that, please.
It's an aircraft. It's like a big drone that you're riding on that you can drive. It's called the Jetson One. And I am tripping out because low-key, I'm liking it. Are we in that moment now that we have flying cars now? Kidding me? He said, I hope not.
I hope not.
I can drive, fly to Austin right now, man. I'd be like, hey, I'll be there in about 2 hours.
No. That's scary, man. Woo. Lord, have mercy. All right, well, you guys go on and fly. I'm going to get back to the music. Don Fleming is fantasizing over here.
I had to jump in and say that was crazy. Go ahead. You got this block, man.
What,
I'm
Bernadette,
sorry.
Where are you? Bernadette?
On their mind, they pretend. only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I
right, all right. Guys, we are just having a good time here. Had great conversation. Now it's time for good music. And Lord have mercy, I just love this good old school music. I look forward to it. I look forward to it, and I'm glad to be here. Let's go. My, my, my. Lord, have mercy. Anyway, guys, this is Wardell Potts again trying to have a conversation with you without choking this time. I was drinking and choking, talking. Can't do all that at the same time. One or the other, Mr. Potts. Anyway, guys,
I'd
like to thank you for tuning in and be at West. Uh-oh, Don's there. What'd you say, Don?
Car.
I won't be able to see.
Was it the flying car?
No, I wasn't choking over the flying car. Wow. I was choking over my soda. I was drinking. Trying to drink my diet. Yeah, well, that's shocking. I don't want anybody flying a car over me. I'm not really interested. Yeah, that's a little rough. So anyway, how you doing, brother? You all right otherwise?
Oh, yes. Car still won't start, so I'm here at home doing some things. And then now the power was going out, and my internet was going out. But I'm doing good.
Oh, wow.
You guys
up there in the tornado weather.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I know how that is. I know how that is, man. I'm watching it. I'm actually watching to see where it is because it's in a part of Texas as well, you know. But you're like right smack in the middle of it. It's like coming right through there, Little Rock. I'm like, what? Why did you say Little Rock? Gee, it's going right through there. And then, you know, it's moving east, but it's tearing up some things on its way. So I hope everything's good for you out there. You stay safe.
No doubt. Hey, man, I appreciate you. You're the same. What's that we hear in the background?
The Manhattans doing what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Gerald Austin is a friend to the show. Shout out to Gerald.
Much love. Awesome. Well, guys, so, you know, I'm like way back. I'm way back in the 60s and 70s, man. I haven't even gotten to the 80s yet. I'm 60s, 70s. I haven't played the 50s. So I'm deep old school right now. So, and I only got 30 minutes left. So I'll give y'all something funky in a minute, but I'm just enjoying this old school. It's good for
nothing
the soul.
Nothing wrong with that.
I love that.
Nothing's
soul
wrong with
music.
That.
Absolutely. So anyway, man. So I'm gonna keep this thing cracking, and you know, I don't know if you can do a block because of your internet situation, but you're welcome to if you want.
I got the pole position.
If you want it,
we can do it. We can do it. I hear a lot of. Let me ask you this first of all before I go into that. 50s music. Are you a student of 50s music?
No.
But 60s,
I love
you are.
I just love music, and I love the songs that made me feel good, and so when I find them, I play them.
I guess that's a good answer. I think that's the right answer. I try to, and maybe I'm wrong for doing this because, you know, it's music is music, and it transcends time and things like that. But I do try to say, okay, this nothing like 70s. You say nothing like 70s love songs, nothing like 60s love songs. You know, and maybe my mind's been programmed because of, you know, watching those old commercials where like, oh, we got the best of the 60s and, you know, and things like that. So I'm probably a little programmed and a little bit indoctrinated on that end. So my apologies on that. But when I categorize them, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm trying to separate. I'm separating, but I'm not separating. I know it's weird to say, but I say, okay, this song, I try to keep all my 60s in a certain place, but of course it doesn't come, you know, I try not to make them comparable. I try not to compare the 70s. I just have them in a certain category, just like 80s, just like the 90s, and maybe 2000s to 2010. But, you know, because I know it's kind of like how I organize things. You know, it's like you ever watch those detective shows where it's always like these opposites attract type partners, and one's like a neat freak and the other one's like real messy. And the guy's right. like, well, I'm looking for this file. And he said, oh, the file's right here. Why is it up there? I have a certain system of where I keep certain files, you know, and I'm kind of that same way. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. As far as just not being unorganized, but just as far as just having those categories like that. So, but you know what? People tell me, and I'm not saying this with vanity, people do say that is a sign of genius. These unorganized, these unorthodox ways of categorizing music, it's kind of, you know, people say, hey, that's the mind of a genius. I'll take that.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Thank
but
you,
anyway, man. Guys, I know I'm just going and babbling. We've got about another 28 minutes left of the show again. Thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out. I want to give you some 90s stuff. Of course, I usually play this on my show, but I'm going to go ahead and slip it on Wardell's show. This is from 1998, of course, music from the lovely Tamia. The sample is Say Yeah by the Commodores, which is a beautiful song. Check it out. Of course, this is So Into You. You guys keep it locked right here. Throwback Thursday on Solar Records Radio.
Now what's the meaning of the line? Tell me. Well, it's like dreaming of your goals, ambitions. I'm feeling free, I'm on a mission to achieve. What's in your mind's eye? This is what you believe you should gain. Satisfaction become a shining example, a test of the sample of a new race that has ample supply of positivity.
You mean flow?
Well, like electricity,
so
you see a clear way with no ambiguity, don't you know? Get alive.
Starting tonight.
You know,
oh,
you
yeah.
Know the great
yeah.
Throwback Thursday, yes, of course, Wardell Pies Jr., Don Fleming, of course. That was my little 90s block. That was my little contribution to the show, man. Just a little, my little old funky contribution to your show, man.
That was good. That was good. Man, oh, man, Don, how do I come behind that, my brother? You just banged it away. It's all good. Anyway, guys, we thank you all again for tuning in. We got about another 15 minutes left in the show, and we love you and appreciate you. And here at Soul Art Records Radio, we take it all the way today, from R&B, pop, soul, jazz. We do it all. Indie music, we do it all, man. God is good. You guys be blessed. We'll be right back after this, and we're going to close it out. We got a couple more songs, and so but I just want to say thanks to everybody for blessing us and being a part of the show. Thanks, Greg, for the flyers. Thanks, Miranda, for blessing us. We appreciate you, Don Fleming, my brother. God bless y'all.
I like the way you make love to my mind. Don't you ever be
Over. We're just getting warmed up over here. Good gracious. Anyway, thank you guys so much for blessing us and just being a part of Soul Eye Records Radio. We love you and appreciate you, and we wish you all the best. And may God keep you and take care of you until tomorrow. Later on the day at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Don Fleming, his Throwback Thursday. And then tomorrow, guys, I want y'all to tune in because we're going to be celebrating it down to Los Angeles again, as we always do. So, man, oh, man, I can't believe the show is over. Don, you're there. What's up, Don?
Man, I was checking out your little Outkast song. Hey, y'all, that song was big when it came out.
What a
crazy song. He was all over the place. That video was just everywhere, all over the place.
Yep. I mean, it was like he just became a solo artist. It just wow. Man, oh, man. Well, anyway, man, so we're up and out of here. And I want to thank everybody. Thanks, Don. Thanks to everybody. And you do. I told them about your show tonight, and I told them about my show later. Tomorrow.
Yes. Tune in tonight. 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, we have the Throwback Thursday night on Soul Eye Records Radio with my partner, Wardell Potts, Jr.
Amen. All right, guys.
Yes.
It's like a itching in my heart is what I'm feeling right here. Good night. Good night. This is Crystal, old school in the house. Good night.